So last time we looked at God's omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his immutability, or the fact that he doesn't change. And that doesn't matter if we're, 4,000 years ago, if we're 2,000 years in the future, God doesn't change. So what he's believed is wrong has always been wrong. What he believes is right has always been right. Amen. God is unchanging. That's a characteristic of God, an attribute of God that we should thank him for, because he's not like we are. He doesn't go back and forth. I mean, if it's wrong with God, it's always been wrong. It doesn't matter what society thinks. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And this is why we can stand boldly on what the Bible says, on the truth. All life is precious to God. Okay, all human life. Let me even preface that, because so many make a big deal about animals and things. And the Bible teaches you not to abuse your animals. I mean, the Bible teaches that, but it also says they're here for us. They're here for food. They're here to serve us. I mean, so that's part of it. But all human life is precious to God. It doesn't matter at what stage it is. It doesn't matter if it's in the womb. It doesn't matter if it is at the end of life. Okay, we don't get to take people's lives from them just because they're not, as society would call them, productive. Right. But this is what happens when you allow socialism to indoctrinate you, to teach you. This is exactly what happens. And we understand that those things are false because God is unchangeable. Now, one of the arguments that people have used, go with me to the book of Acts real quick. Let's go to Acts. We're in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And I want to teach us something here. Now, again, just to teach us, socialism basically says that everything is communal. Okay, nobody owns property, but it belongs to the collective, so to speak. And then with that, you have to put a government over it. And so they get to distribute it. They get to be in charge of it. And it's funny how they keep getting more and they're well taken care of, but those on the bottom aren't. Okay, that's socialism. It says everything is communal. It belongs to everybody and we just all share it evenly. Except that's never the case. That's never been the case with communism. Okay, never has it ever been the case. Okay, and socialism is communism. If you look into Marx, what he taught that socialism was the road to communism. Amen. Okay, there's never been, as he defined it, what communism is, there's never been true communism, because communism is their utopia that they're trying to get to. Okay, what is to get you there, the road to get you there is actually what he called socialism. Okay, so socialism is the road to get you to communism. Communism is, they corrupt it. Satan corrupts everything, but it's basically the thousand-year reign of Christ. Okay, that's what they're trying to get to, their utopia, their perfect society. Okay, obviously without God. All right, now why would they say without God? Because God's word contradicts this. Now, again, going back to what socialism is, communism is, it's everything's communal, so nobody owns anything. Can we think of anything in the Bible to refute that? I want you all to be able to make the application of the Word of God just like that. You should be able to just pull it out. Look, think of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That implies property, that I own something that belongs to me. Because if you can steal it, then that means you're taking someone else's property. So right there, from nearly the very beginning, it implies private property. That you can own something that belongs to you. It doesn't all just belong to the community. Okay, it's not communal. It's not the collective, is a communist word that they would use, okay? So, again, I implore you, please, please, please do your own research into this, study out communism, communist countries. I mean, what's going on in Venezuela? They're socialist, communist. I mean, people are drinking sewer water. They're eating out of trash bags. I mean, this is what their society has gotten them. This is what it brings. Every single time, just look at it. The people suffer every single time. Every single time. Now, here's the problem. In the beginning, it works good. In the beginning, it looks like this is the greatest thing ever. Because, look, everyone has all these things, and it's amazing. And that's why people loved Hitler, by the way, is because they had just come out of a huge depression. And I'm not talking about the depression that hit here. That did affect the world. But I'm talking about their own. After the war, World War I, their German mark, I think is what they called it, just dropped in value immensely. I mean, I've told you all the example of this, you know, where the lady was outside with a wheelbarrow full of German marks, and she parks it outside the store. And she goes in to get something, she comes back out, and the money's dumped on the floor and the wheelbarrow's gone. Okay, that's the money was worthless, all right? So as we get back to this, I don't even know where I was going with that. That's sorry, can I say this in all seriousness? Like what just happened to me right there. I was talking to my wife about this the other day, how I just forgot where I was going with that. I understand sometimes that happens with old age. But I can tell you right now, standing here before you, the reason why my memory is so bad with things like that, and it's not that bad, but why it is what it is, and I know I'm not what I used to be, is because of drugs. Because of the drugs I did when I was younger. I can think back in my life when I was 15 years old, and I remember thinking when I was doing all these drugs, I said, I cannot remember things like I used to. I used to have an excellent memory. And I can remember thinking back to the moment when I realized that at 15 years old, that my memory is now gone, and I'll just lose where I was going, and it's because of drugs. I'm telling you, it's no joke. They have lasting consequences, and even the drugs that they think are just these aren't harmful. These the one they're trying to legalize. Okay, I lived on that day in and day out for like 2-3 years. Every day, every day I was doing it throughout the day. It is no joke. And it's a gateway drug because that's what led me to other things. Don't let anybody tell you they're lying to you if they say it's not a gateway drug. Amen. Everybody I ever know, everyone I've ever known in my life that ever went on to do harder drugs, crack, cocaine, heroin, whatever it was, every single one of them started with marijuana. Amen. Every single one of them. Alcohol and marijuana. Alcohol's a drug, by the way. Just because it's legalized doesn't mean it's good. They got prescription drugs that are legalized, but got a bunch of dope addicts hooked on prescription pills, okay, that abuse that system and everything. I mean, there's a black market for prescription pills as well. But don't let them fool you. Marijuana is a gateway drug, and if they legalize it, it's going to destroy lives. It will lead them into worse and worse. You say, well, I know somebody that doesn't do that. Well, we all know some. I know people that drink that aren't, the scum of the earth, but come out with us to the war zone and you can see those that drink that are. Amen. Okay, that do just evil, wicked things. And if we could sit down and talk with them and ask them, where did it all start? They take you back to what I'm telling you. Marijuana and alcohol. I'll guarantee it. I will guarantee it. Amen. So, all right, getting back to what socialism is. We're here in Acts chapter 5, and remember, again, private property is implied, so God thinks that you should have something. It doesn't all just belong to the community. Now, a lot of people use Acts chapter 4 to teach communism. They say the Bible taught it. The Bible said it was a good thing. Well, let's look at what it says. Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. See, they had all things common. Look at that. Who's this talking about? Okay, the church at Jerusalem, they had all things common, okay? And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of Consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? Look at that now. Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And then Ananias dies. Church discipline takes place. The Lord institutes it. But there's some truths I want to pull out of here, because they do use this to teach, well, you know, a Christian society should be basically, you know, socialistic, communistic. We should just, everything just that everyone has just belongs to everybody, and we just distribute as necessary. But I want you to notice one thing. Look, that the reason I kept reading, I could have stopped at the end of chapter 4, but the reason I kept reading is because some of the things that Peter said. Peter said that, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? See, it was his. Ananias, this belonged to you. It was yours. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? He said, you could have done with it what you wanted. Okay, so this isn't teaching communism. Look, everything that happened here and them distributing and people selling their lands, it was all voluntary. It was all voluntary. And it's huge. That's the point. We need to understand this. What they did was voluntary. I'm not saying they did a bad thing. I'm not saying giving it so they can take care of the widows and whatnot and those that had less was a bad thing. No, God laid that on their heart and they did it. But the whole thing was voluntary. Peter even said so. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to sell the land. It was yours. You could have kept it, because I'm sure there's some that did. They said, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And God didn't condemn them for it. He's just mentioning those that did. So this whole thing was voluntary. It's not like the Bible's teaching that you have to do this. See, our giving ought to be from the heart, because we want to, because God has laid it on our heart. God has led us to do it. That's how our giving ought to be. It's not forced. No one was forced to have to do this. They came voluntarily, and what'd they do? They laid it at the apostles' feet. They said, here, this is for the work of the ministry. We're giving it to you guys and trusting you to take care of it. That's what they did. That's what happens. So this whole teaching of communism, the Bible doesn't teach it. This is one of the places they're going to go to say that the Bible says we should do this. No, it doesn't. It was all voluntary. And that's exactly how we need to understand this to be. Look, people, you know, everybody is you know, super charitable with other people's money. You know, because everyone thinks government needs to do that. Government is us. Government doesn't make money, they take money. Okay, when we understand that government doesn't make money, they take money, then we understand that who are they taking it from? The rich. No, everyone gets taxed. If you buy anything anywhere, you're being taxed. That's your money. Okay, they're taking it. Now again, there's legitimate uses for government, but they're so few and far between. We don't need them for anything. We don't need a bigger federal government. We don't need more federal agencies. Amen. Okay, we don't need any of that. But this is what is being taught, and what it is they want to take from us and be generous with our money. Well, it's easy for the politicians to be generous with our money. But God implies, no, there is private property. This is why a lot of people will say taxation is theft. Well, in part it is. Now again, part of living in a free society, we're going to have to give up some liberties, and people will freak out when you say that, but you're going to have to give up some liberties in order to maintain a free society. Okay, you're going to have to give up some of your property in order to maintain a free society. What do you mean some of your property? Some of our money. You're going to have to give that up in order to maintain, like I've talked about, like a police force, a military. I mean, we want that. We don't want to just be weak and have another nation just come in and destroy us. So those people need to eat as well. They need to live as well. So, okay, we all agree we're going to, for these certain purposes, but they're few and far between. It's not a right that we all have to pay for every child to go to college. It's not a right that we have to pay for every child to go to preschool. Amen. To go to elementary, to go to middle school, to go to high school. We shouldn't have to pay for that. My children have never one time in their life benefited from public education, never. But I've been paying it. I've been paying for it. I'm paying for all these other kids. And now our governor's so happy because she just passed some legislation, signed some legislation into law to fund preschool education now. Like, well, yeah, go ahead. Why not? Give it a shot. I mean, you failed at kindergarten through 12th grade. Why not give this a shot too and fail at this and throw more money at it and be more useless? But this is where we're at. But again, I say all this because I want us to see how this applies to life. Okay, look, I personally, I didn't, my girls went to CNM. I wouldn't take a dime from the lottery scholarship. Isn't gambling sin? I'm just checking. Is gambling sin? You say, but it's free money. This used to be a term people used. It was ill-gotten gain. It was ill-gotten gain. It was evilly gotten. Look, if someone came in here and put money in the offering plate, if they put $10,000 in the offering plate, and I knew they got it from stealing, I'd be like, we're not accepting that. You take your money. We don't want it. Now, if they did it and I don't know, well, okay, I'm not God. But if I know about it, I'm like, we don't want your money. Keep it. I personally wouldn't allow my children even to go to school on a lottery scholarship. I couldn't do that because it's wrong. I've taught them since they were little that gambling's wrong. Because it is. It's all based in greed. And now I'm going to profit off of that? See, any of that government help, we just, nope, don't want it, don't want it. Amen. See, we've all been indoctrinated, and we're all guilty of it, myself included, of being indoctrinated into this socialist thinking, into a welfare mentality, to where we don't even realize it. I mean, I had one preacher telling me when I started this church, he's like, you can't, because look, the church I came out of, he was on, Medicaid. His family was on Medicaid. Well, that's welfare. I'm sorry, it's welfare. And that's what I was going to do. I'm like, well, okay, we don't make that much money. We'll qualify. I mean, I got four kids. You know, we're going to qualify. So we'll get on Medicaid. And that's what I was going to do. And then I had a preacher challenge me about it. He said, that's welfare. What are you doing that? He said, just think about it. He said, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but just think about it. Are you going to really, you know, accept welfare? Now, let me pause right here and say, look, if our nation one day goes to and it looks like we're going that way because we're socialist, but goes to a single payer health system, which is, you know, socialized medicine, you know, Obama's already pushing it that you're forced into having to buy insurance. But we may one day be forced and have zero choice over it, that we're going to have to be in that government system. Then that's a different matter because we don't have a choice in it. Okay, you're just going to be thrown into it. Doesn't matter. Once you're born, you're in it. That's another story. I'm not talking about that, okay? But I'm talking right now, we have a choice. And he challenged me on that. And it was because of him that we ended up joining with Samaritan. It's just medical sharing. It's not really insurance, but it's medical sharing. They'll cover you up to like $250,000 per incident. And basically what you do is your share, you will just send it to this person. They do all the figuring and all the needs that are there for that month. And then they send it to you every month and they say, you send your share. And for my family, once you get a family of four or more, it's $495 a month. Okay, and that's what we send out every month to whoever the person is. We've sent checks all over the country. But it's us personally giving them a gift, really. And then when we have a need, they get sent to us. We put it in, they do all the calculations and all that. But we ended up doing that. And I was like, man, that's $500 a month. I'm like, I could have that $500 a month in my pocket. Or I could trust God and ask God to you know, provide that $500 a month and take care of us. And that's what I decided to do. And I'm not saying it was an easy decision. I struggled with it. But I knew that I'm like, no, I'm against welfare. Am I against it in all areas or not? I mean, and I'll just be honest with you, where we're coming from, typical New Mexican, you know? I mean, my children all grew up on WIC food, okay? WIC is welfare, okay? Women, infants, children, I mean, it's welfare. They gave us food for formula for our children as they were babies. They gave us cereal, cheese, you know, milk, all that stuff. Okay, we got all that stuff coming through, and then when I began to learn some of these things, we put a stop to it. But we took free. I mean, they were old already because we had it. Because once they're five, they stop it. But we kept having kids, so we always had it coming. Okay? So I'm not saying we haven't partaken of it. And I'm not saying you're evil if you have partaken of it or if you even are partaking of it. I'm just trying to teach you something. You get alone with God. You ask God, God, what do you want me to do? I won't be mad at you either way. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from, okay? And just trying to teach you some things, all right? I personally, we're not going to do it. We're not going to get on Medicare. We're not going to do that. We'll find something else. We'll do something else instead of promoting socialism. But I told you all that about me not getting Medicare when we started to pastor this church and getting on Samaritans, because I've said we've all been indoctrinated to think this way, to think just socialistic without even knowing it. We all think it. Even if we're against it, we think it. Because the same man that told me you shouldn't do that, that's welfare, the same man, his church is incorporated and he has 501c3 status, which if you look at the ruling from the court case with Bob Jones University versus the federal government, and I could pull up the information for you, I've got it in a book. The federal government, when they ruled in that case against Bob Jones University because they had, they didn't allow, I forget how they term it, but they wouldn't allow interracial dating. Okay, Bob Jones is in the South, it's in, I think, South Carolina, but they didn't allow interracial dating, so blacks and whites could not date each other. And I think this was in the 60s or the 70s. They got taken to court for that and saying, you're not allowed to do that. And they said, well, we're a religious institution, First Amendment, you can't tell us what to do. And they said, well, actually, you're incorporated and you need to follow these laws and all this stuff. But what they ended up saying through all that, through their ruling, is they said that you were taking, if you're 501c3, they essentially said that's welfare because you're taking something from government, because here's what 501c3 is. Instead of being under the First Amendment and being what a true church is, we're non-taxable. They went and they bowed down to government and said, you give us permission now, so we'll make you tax exempt. See, we gave up what we had, being non-taxable, to be tax exempt. So they declared that if you're going to be 501c3, then now you're taking welfare because that's a government benefit that they're giving to you. You understand? Because they're not taxing that, so you're getting that benefit from them. It's welfare. So I'm just saying that even when we think we're not, we are. Because we've been so indoctrinated with it. It's been so normal for us. Hasn't it? I mean, how many of you, and I'm not, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want. I'll tell you right now, we've been on welfare. We've gotten food stamps. Anybody else in here? Any type of that stuff? Yeah, three of us, four, okay, five. Six. I mean, see, most everyone in here, we've all been some way, shape, or form, whether maybe it wasn't us personally, it might have been our parents or something, but I mean, for us, it was us personally. I mean, we did it for a long time. We, just kind of, that was just what you did, and why not? It's a good thing. They're going to help us. I mean, all of that stuff. But we've been indoctrinated to it. And what we've got to do is we've got to start teaching against that. See, I know a lot of people will say, we're against big government. But then they want stuff like that. But then they're pro public education. That's socialism. That's socialism. We just have accepted it without even knowing it. You say, how do you get off on all this stuff, Pastor, when we're supposed to be talking about God? Because I'm talking about who God is and what God has laid down. Do you see the practical application when you understand who God is? I hope you do, because we're looking at God being immutable or unchanging. And what he was then, he always is. And if he's for private property, then that means you can have it. That means that's what it's there for. But under socialism, nobody has private property. You say, yes, I do. For now. But here's what they want to get. They want to get where you don't. They're going to take everything from you when they have the power. That's what always happens. They're going to take it all from you once they have the power. And you won't have private property. You think you own your house. I've mentioned this a lot. You don't own your house and you never will. You say, yes, I've got the title deed. I paid off my mortgage. Okay, good. Stop paying your property taxes. See if you keep it. See if they won't throw you off that land. You never own your property. You will never own it. And even some places, I don't know where the government thinks that they're God, but you go and you say you buy 1,000 acres somewhere. You own that 1,000 acres. You don't own the mineral rights, though. You can't get what's in the ground. And if you do, it's illegal. Because it belongs to the government. There's some states you can't collect rainwater because it belongs to the government. What? Like, are you guys producing this somewhere I don't know about? Or what? Like, you got a rain factory or something we don't know about? This is where socialism leads to. Why don't they want you collecting rainwater? Because you're self-sufficient. You're not on the system. This is why they try to mark everybody. You guys know when when Social Security first came out, Social Security number. By the way, if someone's collecting Social Security, that's your money. Okay, you paid into it. That's yours. All right, you should get that. That's not welfare. I just want to say that because you paid into that your whole working life. You paid into Social Security. That's your money. But anyway, when that first came out, a lot of preachers were against it. They used to preach against it because, you know, some of them saw it. That's the mark of the beast. But what it does is it puts you in the system. And it was all voluntary at first. Now try to not get a Social Security number. Try to do anything without a Social Security number. That's your identity. They've marked you with that. And you have to have it. You want to get a loan. You want to do anything. Now, who requires all this stuff? Government. You didn't used to need this. You used to be able to go into a bank on a handshake. If they knew who you were, they'd give you a loan. If you had some collateral, they'd give you a loan. But now you got to have all this information. You got to be able to give them all this info. Why? They want to lock you in the system. A lot of times they highly discourage it and almost make it illegal to live off the grid. Say, what does that mean? Oh, that's those crazy preppers, those conspiracy theorists, nut guys. No, it's people that say, I don't want government controlling everything I do. Amen. I don't want to be dependent on them. Because when we're dependent on them, what happens? We're dependent on them. We're not self-sufficient. I'm telling you right now, if the power went down, if the power grid went down in America right now, within 6 months, half the population would be dead. That's no joke. That's no exaggeration either. Half the population would be dead. Think about all the sick people. How are they going to get their medicine? Elderly that are dependent on oxygen and those oxygen pumping machines. Just think about all that. How are they going to live? Even young people, healthy adults, but they get medicine. The power grid goes down. How are they going to get all that stuff? How are they going to ship out insulin and all that type of stuff? People are going to be dying left and right. We are so dependent on it, and they want it that way because then they can control us. So are you anti-government? No, I'm anti-tyrannical government. Okay, I'm pro-constitutional government. That's what I'm for. We need government. I'm not for anarchy. Okay, I'm for our constitutional government as it was designed. A limited government. All right, and that's why I'm saying when God's unchangeable and he says, thou shalt not steal, it implies private property. We should have that. God says you should have it. Ultimately, all of it belongs to him anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what are we? What does that make us then? If he says you have private property, that means we're stewards of what belongs to him. So we're to be good stewards over it. We're to take care of it, to maintain it. But it all ultimately belongs to him. But he says you can own it. It can be yours. That's a trust relationship, by the way, which is the same way our church is organized, under a trust. We are simply maintaining what belongs to him. Everything that comes in this offering plate belongs to God. Amen. So we render therefore unto God the things that are God's and to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So what comes in here doesn't go to Caesar because it belongs to God. I mean, it's been taxed 100 times before it ever hits the plate anyway. It belongs to God. It is not Caesar. Caesar, keep your hands off it. It doesn't belong to you. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be consequences for taking that stand. Right now, they're not doing anything about it. One day, they might. But I'm just telling you, this is the biblical application of the truths that taught in the Word of God. See, this is how we can say the Bible's timeless. Some of this might be over some of your heads. I hope it's not. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. But this is why we can say the Bible is timeless. Because when you look at the principles that it teaches, the principle of stewardship, that it all belongs to God and he lets me manage it. Okay, then that starts to begin to make sense then. Okay, I need to give to God what belongs to him, and then I'll give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, or we could say government what belongs to government. Okay, that's there. Jesus recognized that truth. He said, go ahead and do that because they are doing certain things for you. Romans 13, we looked at last week or Wednesday, whenever it was. I don't know when I get confused when we look at this stuff. I think it was Wednesday night we looked at it. But when we begin to understand the principles of the Word of God, we can see that the Word of God is timeless. It fits in any generation, at any time period, in any culture. Okay? But we have to understand the application of the principle. That's why I asked you all, where does the Bible, you know, teach against communism? And it's just, man, thou shalt not steal. It teaches private property right there. Thou shalt not steal. That implies that you own it then. Somebody took something that belongs to me. See, just in that one commandment, there it is, right there. There's a timeless truth that'll never end. Private property. God has entrusted us with what's His, but He says, you can manage it for me. Your whole life, you can manage it. This is why the state has no say-so in how we raise our children, because they're my property. Amen. Parents, they're your property. Amen. Husbands, wives, this is why adultery is wrong, should be outlawed. Because adultery is taking somebody else's property. Okay, let's go. Let me find it real quick. Go to, I may have to look, 1 Corinthians first. I think that's where it's at, if I'm not mistaken. 1 Corinthians. I just want to teach us something from the Word of God. First Corinthians chapter 7. All right, adultery is wrong and should be illegal because you're taking someone else's property. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now get this, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, look at this, let every man have what? What's it say? His own wife, right? That implies she belongs to him, right? Look at the next statement. And let every woman have what? Her own husband. That implies he belongs to her. That's what it's telling you right there. Let's keep going. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Look at this. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Why? Because she belongs to him. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Why? Because he belongs to her. Private property. That's why adultery is wrong. You see the principle taught there? And then we apply it. So what's wrong with adultery other than it's fornication and wicked? You're stealing someone else's property. That's why that fits in the realm of what government can do. That's the second table of the law. Y'all remember that? The second table of the law deals with man word. The first table deals with God word. Okay? Government has no bearing over the first table of the law, which is my conscience. You can't tell me what to think. Okay, the principle is taken from thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right, you don't get to tell me what God to worship. That's each and every person. God gives us that right. Amen. To choose Him or to reject Him. And if God gives us that right, then who is anybody else to tell us, no, you have to worship this way. You have to believe this way. You have to think this way. No one else has that authority. Now, they may try it. Again, you don't fall in line with what they say. There may be consequences for it. But they don't have the right to do that, and they've stepped outside of their authority, and they will be under the judgment of God. Just like we don't have the right to tell somebody else what to do. Let me give you, just understanding the two tables of the law, I want to give you a principle that applies to today in some well-meaning, I'm sure. They're always well-meaning politicians, okay? Every single time they're well-meaning, okay? But in Missouri, one of the senators in Missouri just proposed a law that would require everyone 18 to, I think, 34 years old must own an AR-15. They required that. And man, I think everybody ought to own a gun. I love guns. I love AR-15s. I think it's excellent for everybody to own one. But government has stepped out of their bounds of authority when they dictate that you have to buy this. You think, what, preacher? You're against guns? You're against the Second Amendment? America! No, I'm for the Second Amendment, which protects our liberties. This goes to the First Amendment. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech. You have choice. That's no choice. How many of you liked, and I, all the Republicans said it was unconstitutional, they can't do it? But how many of you liked when they shoved Obamacare down our throat and said, you have to purchase health insurance? Everyone said, that's unconstitutional. They can't make you buy anything. So why is it right when a Republican says you have to buy a gun. Just because I like the idea of everyone owning a gun, and I do. But I don't think they should be forced to. If someone doesn't like guns, they don't have to buy one. They don't have to. That's not liberty. We don't get to force people what to do. If it was wrong for Obama to make us buy health care, why isn't it wrong to make somebody buy a gun? And I love guns. That's not liberty, though. See, you see where the two tables, when we understand it, you stay out of my conscience, you don't get to tell me what to think and what I have to do. They're telling them what to do. They're telling them what to think. No, you have to like guns. You have to own one. Whoa, who says? Don't I have liberty? Don't I have the liberty of conscience to do things as I see fit, as long as I'm not harming anybody else's life, liberty, or property? Then what is it to you if I own a gun or if I don't? Who am I harming by not having health insurance? Am I harming somebody's life, liberty, or property? Get out of my conscience. Don't tell me what to do. I'll just tell you, I'm going to be looking more into this, but I know of one preacher, and there may be more. He's looking into this as well, but here's what he told me. He says, I'm going to look into this, and I'm probably going to stop paying my taxes until our government stops funding abortion. Now think about that. Here's the conversation he had with his wife. He says, are you ready for me to be arrested and go to prison for this? He discussed it with her. Now I'm telling you right now, that's something we're all going to have to start weighing. Amen. You're an anarchist. You're against government. No, I'm against tyrannical government. Read Romans 13. They're a terror to evil works, not to good. The Nazis used Romans 13 against the German Christians. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. See, we better know what we believe, or we'll just be like, oh, that's right. I just better bow in submission, you know, as they start, you know, butchering, you know, 1- and 2-year-olds. You know, as they load us up in the rail cars, better just submit to them. So how could he do that? He's supposed to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Yeah, but they're not supposed to violate our conscience. Their purpose is to protect life, liberty, and property, to stay out of my conscience. Doesn't matter if they agree with us that we think it's life or not. I'm telling you, this is no joke right here. Everybody in here better start weighing this. And I've had this question for a few years myself. Like, how can we continue paying taxes when we know our federal government and even our state government is using that money to butcher children? Are we truly against abortion? I'm going to ask yourself, are you truly against abortion? Now, there's some ways we can't get away from it. And you might say, well, compromisers may as well just pay it through our income tax. Well, look, you got to buy groceries. Go out, buy a farm then. You know, start raising all your own food. You're going to pay taxes through groceries and things like that. You can't get away from that. And if you work a job somewhere, they take the money before you even touch it. You can't do anything about that. They've got it before you get it. But here's what he said he's going to do. I'm keeping a record of, he says, and I'll get a refund. I mean, I got so many kids, he said, I'll get a refund. He's like, but I'm going to keep a record of everything that I owe or what they owe me. He's like, I'm not, you know, evading taxes. He's like, I'm willing to pay them, and I will pay them once our federal government stops funding abortion. He's not trying to not pay taxes. He just says, I'm not going to support that. And we have to ask ourselves, and I have to ask myself, figure out what I'm going to do. And I'm not saying this is like, oh, you'll figure it out by next week. It may take a year or two to figure out what you're going to do. But we need to start thinking about it. Are we truly against abortion? Then are we going to pay for it? Same type principle. Look, are we against people being drug addicts and drunks? Then are we going to give money to the homeless out there? Same principle. I'm not going to help you in your addiction. You know, I'll give you food. And I've given some of them food and they're just like, thanks, God bless, because they all have that on their sign, right? I've given it to others and they just like start devouring it right then, like, you know, they haven't eaten. And I'm okay with that, even if their bad life decisions put them there. They're still humans and I'm still okay with feeding them. I don't want people to die just because they made bad decisions. But I'm also not going to support their habit. So we really got to ask ourselves, I mean, this is serious, it's no joke. Can we continue to give our money to pay for abortions if we are truly against them, if we truly believe it's wrong? Now let me flip it for us, give us some perspective on this. Would we have supported, or think back now, would you support the Nazis and what they did to the Jews? Would you? Are you for that? Who's for that? Anybody in here? No, they murdered them in cold blood. I mean, have any of you looked into how they actually perform abortions? If not, I encourage you to do it. Look into what they actually do. And they do it different ways at different stages, however far along the woman is. And I forget what stage it is, but at one point, I think it's when they're probably, you know, in the second trimester or something. I'm not sure exactly when. Anyway, look it up when they do this one, though. But they basically tear them apart limb from limb. Okay, and they've got also ultrasound pictures of the babies like trying to get away from the forceps that tear them apart. And I mean, these aren't little tiny forceps. I mean, they're strong steel, so they don't have any give. If any of you have ever used pliers and you squeeze them, and they have like needle-nose pliers, if you know what I'm talking about, and you really squeeze down on something, you can see the pliers will just, instead of like staying tight, they kind of just, they'll just do like this. Instead of going and locking, they'll go like that. And they'll just give. These pliers aren't made like that. They're made to crush bones and to rip them apart and to pull those pieces out of the mother's womb. And then here's the really sick part. They have a dish that they have to reassemble the baby back in to make sure they got every piece out. And this is what our tax dollars go to. If that's not evil, I don't know what is. And I've been praying and asking God to show me what to do about this. Because I've thought it's wrong, and I'm like, how can we give our money to this? How can I give my tax dollars to this? How can I do that? When I know it's wrong. And I believe God used that preacher to answer my question. So I'm pretty sure I know which direction I'm going. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I'm not saying I'm going to do it right away. I'm going to take some time to look more into it and study this thing out. But on his paycheck, they take the taxes, okay? But he says, on my income tax, I'm not going to. Now think about it. If 100,000 Americans did that, you think Washington might wake up? They would. But here's the thing. Because it's just me, and they'll haul me off to prison. Okay, this is where we have to decide. Are we going to stand in place where our Baptist forefathers stood? And I'm telling you, this is no joke. This is why I encouraged everyone to be a part of the class that goes on Tuesday nights in our Bible Institute, America in Crimson Red, because you saw what our forefathers went through. Because they, look, here's what they were trying to force them to do. They were trying to force them, just like they're forcing us to pay for abortions, they're forcing us to pay for the murder of infants, okay? Let me put it like that instead of saying abortion. They're forcing us to pay for the murder of infants, the dismembering of infants. Okay, and it's not just going to stop there, because now the Democrat Party wanted, and they will get it unless something happens, but they're going to get it. They're going to get the bill that they tried to pass where you just leave them on the table and let them die in a botched abortion. Just leave them there till they die. And it won't stop there. They're going to end up killing them. Right now, they'll just leave them, but they'll say, well, they're suffering, even though it's not alive. Let's just kill it. If they don't already do that, if the doctors don't already do that, we're not going to know. But this is what's going on. So are we okay with that? Are we okay doing that? This is some pretty serious stuff, isn't it? So are we going to stand with our Baptist forefathers who That's what we're facing today. That's what they were trying. That's what they make us do. What they made them do is they said, you have to pay the ministerial tax. You're not a congregationalist, but you're going to pay for our preacher, because they had state churches. This is in America, in New England, in the 1600s and 1700s. This is what happened. This is why Obadiah Holmes was beat almost to death. This is why others lost their homes, had everything stolen from them. Again, that private property. Were sometimes sent out naked, completely naked. Other times they let them keep the clothes on their back in the middle of a New England winter. Good luck. They sent them out in the summer. Hey, go to the Indians that hate us because of us stealing their land. Which is what happened. Okay, the founding of America, we stole their land. And I'm not saying it's like we're evil for doing that. That's happened throughout the world. Every time some other nation conquers another nation, they take their land, okay? I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that's what's happened. But here, there's only one group of people that didn't steal their land. Amen. And it was the Baptists. They bought Rhode Island from the Indians because they were there first. The divine right of kings means we touch the land. If a citizen of Great Britain or Spain comes and touches the land, it belongs to that kingdom. It's ours now. What? It's kind of like the national forests. Look, the same thing keeps happening. Amen? But anyway, they wanted them to pay for their ministers. And they said, we don't go to church there. We don't agree with that. That violates our conscience. That's against our liberty of conscience. We are not going to pay those taxes because we're not going to pay for your preachers. We shouldn't have to do that. Should we do that today through 501c3? See, there's an application when you start getting into the principles of the Word of God. But our forefathers said, we're not going to pay for that, and it cost them dearly. Everything was taken from them. And it happened for so long, for so many decades, and even into over a century, that they finally got fed up. They said, no more. And God used the suffering of the Baptists, sparked off that separate Baptist revival of the thoughts of liberty, the principles of liberty spread throughout southern New England, especially in Virginia, because of the separate Baptist revival through Schubel Stearns and what he did and the men that came out of that revival did, and all the church planting that took place, and the seeds of liberty were spread throughout a nation. And because Great Britain was also persecuting the Protestants here as well. Taxation without representation. The cry of the revolution was no king but Jesus. That's Protestants alike too. They were crying that. No king but Jesus. Because he was a tyrant. But they suffered persecution. They were willing to pay the price for their liberty of conscience. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. That's what all of you have to ask yourselves. You young people in here. You teenagers, say, this doesn't apply to me. This is my parents. You're like a few years away from adulthood, okay? From being the ones making decisions, from having families. I know it may seem like it's forever, but really it's not. You know, some of you within, you know, even 2, 3, 4, 5 years could have children. And then you got to make the decisions. What are you going to do? And here's what you have to ask yourself. Are you going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are you going to seek your kingdom first? And it's a serious question. It's no joke. We are losing our liberties, and this is what it means. This is what the reality of understanding these principles, if we're going to live them out, if we're truly going to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Man, that sounds good, right? When we're talking about those that profess Christ and but don't live it. Oh, they need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Bunch of fake, false Christianity. Okay. Amen. Bunch of fake, false Christianity. Then how about the real Christians? What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we going to be doers of the word or hearers only? How's the rest go on to say? Deceiving your own selves. It's no joke. What are we going to do? And guess what? You get to decide for yourself. you have a liberty of conscience. You figure it out. I may do something and you say, I can't do that. I may think you're wrong based on what I'm teaching, but you have the choice to do that. That's up to you. And again, I told you, I don't even know how soon I'm going to do this, but I've seen it coming for years and I've kind of fought it. To be honest with you, I've just kind of like, let me just push that aside because that's no joke. I'm just being honest with you, telling you my heart and how, you know, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I have it all figured out and I got everything right, okay? I struggle with stuff just like you do. And I've just kind of had to ask myself, what am I going to do with this? I know abortion's murder. I know it is. It's nothing less. But now how am I going to live out my faith? Can I really live that way? Can I really do that? Can I really support that? Can I support infanticide? Where do we draw the line? Look, they're pushing for infanticide, the murder of infants. They're already doing it. That's what abortion is. But when I say infanticide, I'm talking about after they've been born. Okay, oh, they're just talking about it now just with botched abortions. Okay, just let them die. They're there, they're breathing, they're screaming, crying, let them die. Leave them there, let them die. That's what they're talking about now, but it won't stop there. You know, mother comes out postpartum depression. That's a real thing, by the way. Okay, that's real. All right, my wife lived it. It is real. Look, a woman's hormones are all over the place after she has a baby. I don't know all the details about it, but I know it's real. Okay? So 3 months into it, she's all depressed. She's, I don't want this baby anymore. Oh, just take it to the doctor. We'll have an abortion. Post-birth abortion. Well, how do you do it? Well, when you're not looking, we just grab the child by the neck and just strangle it. You say, oh, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, you're right. They probably won't do that. They'll give it an injection or something. Because we don't value life. Like just putting, you know, put your dog down. You know, we'll just treat it like that. They're going to do it to the elderly. Everyone got after Sarah Palin for talking about death panels. What do you think it's going to be? You get socialized medicine? Sorry, you're not worth it. That's going to cost too much. That's going to cost the community too much money, and you're not productive. You're not a productive member of society. You're not viable. You're a drain on the rest of us. Why are we going to give you a heart transplant? You're 70 years old. You're going to die in maybe 10 years. That's not worth it. Let's save that good heart for somebody younger. Just let them die. See, when we stop valuing life, where does it end? I'll tell you where it ends. We have history to prove it. You say, oh, that's just ridiculous. You're being overdramatic. Really? Because they killed millions of Jews. When they stopped valuing life and they started devaluing life, here's where it ends. It ends in rail cars, people being gassed to death and burned in incinerators in mass. That's what happens. That's where it leads to. Can we support that? God-fearing people, can you support that? I didn't even intend to talk about any of this. Never had an intention in my mind. I studied through the book. I was going to go through the book. I didn't even get past what I got to last week, what I started on last week. We're still looking at the immutability of God. He doesn't change. You said, well, how does all this fit with His immutability? Glad you asked. Go to Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. We're made in the image of God. And that's why in Genesis 9, God says, bring the death penalty for somebody that takes a life, because man was made in the image of God. God has not changed. Whether it's a child in the womb, even if it's after the first day after conception, the day after pill is murder. Amen. Morning after pill is murder. Can I say it again? It's murder. So, oh, but it's just a clump of cells and stuff. It was life, and you murdered it. It was murder. or whether it's post-birth abortion. It's murder. By the way, talking about the principles of the Word of God, this verse deals with something that's very pertinent to today as well. Okay, we just read it right here. How did God make them? What's that? Male and female. That's it. There's no binary gender.
Amen.
Stop apologizing for believing the Bible, Christians. You have a mental deficiency if you believe that.
Amen.
Something is mentally wrong with you if you believe that there's more than two genders. And if you were born a male and you think you're a female, you have a mental disorder. Something is wrong with you.
Amen.
Your thinking is not right. You're wrong. Why? Because God created them male and female. What you came out is what God wanted you to be.
Right.
Align your thinking with His. That's why we need to renew our minds through the Word of God. Because we've all thought some pretty awful things before. It doesn't make it right. I mean, I'm not proud of this, but I've thought of murdering people that have done wrong to my family. How could you say that? Because it's true. Maybe you're not willing to say that. I am. I have thought it. I'm not proud of that. But I've thought it. Guess what? Just because I've thought it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right just because I think it. It's wrong. It's murder. It's evil. It's wicked. So we'd say, yes, that is wrong to think that. It's more wrong to do it, but it's wrong to think it. You're not right if you're thinking that. Exactly. I got a mental problem if I'm thinking that's okay. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to make an illustration here for you. Same thing. If you're born a female and you think you're a male, you got a mental problem.
Amen.
Your thinking is not right. Just because you think you're supposed to be a man doesn't make it right. You're wrong. Get your thinking fixed. You see how the Word of God, just in a verse that's not even really dealing with that. God's just stating, here's how things are. It deals with life today. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It's real. It'll help you in every area of your life. And it'll cut you when you're wrong as well. Hey, it'll help you divide what you need to divide. It's a sword. It'll help you to make that decision. Oh, I got to divide from this evilness of abortion. It'll help us make those decisions. All right.